Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop.
There it is.
He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, as well as if you're on the Super Chat chat room, scroll down there and click on that People for People radio link and join their chat room too. So let me see here. Unexpected disaster, question mark, question mark, question mark. Sure, y'all know by now that this whole global warming thing's probably not making friends of anybody. You know, I've been talking about this for a long time, and I kept on telling they need to stop tampering around with the weather, spraying crud in the air to try to block out the sunlight, or just jacking around in general with the weather. As on top of natural events, you know, such as a solar minimum and other, you know, events going on around the world and stuff like that, the last thing you need to do is be blocking out the sunlight. Now, I've said this I don't know how many times, you know, if there was enough CO2 up in the atmosphere to trap in the sunlight, then there would also be enough CO2 up in the air to block it out as well. Kind of like whenever you go through a period after a volcano erupts and we go through a cooling period. Well, there was a lot of things back in the old days that told me we could very well be going into a mini ice age. And so, you know, I was just thinking, you know, Pierce Morgan, he was always telling everybody that, you know, usually heats up right before it gets really cold. So a lot of this could be natural, you know. Could be factored in something to do with the tilt of the earth and such. You know, if you're one of the ones that believe the earth is round and it works the way that science says, and, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm observing the sun. I did a video years ago saying Earth tilted, and of course I explained it in that video that if the Earth tilted, then that means that it changed the weather patterns from top to bottom, such as there are certain trees that grow better in certain climates that you know, seem to thrive more towards the north now than they ever did before, and the fact that you got animals that are migrating from, you know, the south moving up this way. One, animals that normally would have been way down the other direction, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. But, you know, there's so many things to factor in. But to get down to the actual, you know, truth of the matter, you got to look at all these things combined. First off, if we are going into a solar minimum where the sun ain't going to be, you know, basically taking, if the sun's kind of taking a nap, so to speak, it's not completely going to sleep, but it's kind of taking a nap. It's not as excited as it usually is during the normal seasons and such. So that could change a little bit in the weather. And then when you have, you know, different things, possibilities, such as maybe the earth, the tilt of the earth changing to some degree, it wouldn't take very much for the earth to change in some degree. If you go look at my video that I posted, it's been quite a long time. But this is not always an overnight process either. So if the sun really tilted, and what gave me the idea that the earth was tilted was the fact that the sun wasn't coming up directly where it normally did before. It seemed to be moving more towards the south as time went on. And so if you think about that in the lines of shining a light on a basketball, and you can see where those lines on the basketball are, and then when you rotate that basketball while you got the light shined on it, you can see where the you know, the dark and the light meet at Terminator line, I guess they call it, for the earth and when the sun's shining around. But either way, you could see where the sun would be closer than normal, you know, like at the equators where the sun's normally the hottest, obviously, because it's the closest. If we're on a sphere, it's as closest to the sun. So when it curves away from it, you know, you got a little less heat down there, and we got to pick up heat during the daytime, so that whenever we're on the dark side at night, then some of that heat will carry over and keep us through till the next turn facing the sun again. So you have a temperature difference at night as you would during the daytime, obviously. But if the earth tilted, you know, that would change where the equator normally would have been, move it up a few miles or maybe 100 miles or more. It's hard to tell, you know, depending on how far the earth actually tilted. But either way, that would change the weather patterns. Of course, now if you got turkeys out there tampering with weather patterns, that could cause some strange events as well. If you got these turkeys out there spraying crud in the air to try to block out sunlight, well, obviously that's going to have a huge effect as well, on the temperature, because you move, for every action's an equal and opposite reaction. You move the rain over this direction, so now you're getting temperature over there where you're not getting it over here, and there's a consequence to play out there. And so they're literally having weather wars, stealing rain from each other or causing it to flood over here or creating a storm over there, which is all within the realms of scientific possibility. It's not science fiction anymore. Matter of fact, they were doing it way back in the 60s during Vietnam or something like that. I think it was the 60s. Anyway, he's doing it during Vietnam, where they tried to flood the trails out where the people couldn't get their heavy equipment in and out of there. They even tried to defoliate the plants around there, too, by spraying chemicals on there. It's all kinds of different, I think it was Operation Popeye. I have to look that back up, but go look into some of the things that were going on back in the day. It might surprise you how long weather modification's actually been occurring. But either way, we got this thing going on in Texas, so I've got a couple podcasts that I want to play on here, give you some perspective of what other people are saying, what these folks are really going through. And when I say that, unexpected disaster, kind of being a little sarcastic, I guess, because I've been trying to get people to listen for years about different ideas. I mean, the worst time to plan for a disaster is after it's already occurred. Now, you expect to live in, places like Texas or Arizona or Florida, where, it normally doesn't necessarily get real cold, It kind of does get cold down there, but it doesn't get necessarily nasty weather like to freeze pipes and such. So, if you live in that kind of area, you might have people that will build houses with less insulation or, not energy efficient or whatever. And so it's a ticking time bomb as far as that goes, because, if the weather ever did go towards, say, like a mini ice age or something like that, well, you'd already be screwed before you even got started, because you're not set up for that type of weather. As a matter of fact, here in Missouri where I live, we're used to terrible weather, and so we get pretty good at driving in snow and, worst case scenario, ice. I don't like to drive on ice at all. It can be done, but you gotta be extra careful and don't get overconfident in your vehicle or your skills, because I don't care how good of a driver you are, when you're on ice you have no skills. You're basically playing a game of chance at that point. But anyway, so a lot of folks don't pre-plan for those types of events. There's a photo out there of Egypt, the Egyptian pyramids, covered with snow. They talked about snow over in Jerusalem and stuff like that. That's a pretty big storm going on all over the place. And some of you folks are out there in the areas where I don't have to be telling you this. You already know that. If you got power going on right now, you're one of the fortunate ones. It said snow for the first time in 118 years in Egypt. Got snow on the pyramids. Ironically enough, that's what the pyramids probably looked like when they were brand new. Pretty wild. Anyway, you got all these different terrible car crashes going on. You got millions, of, not billions of dollars worth of damage occurring right now. And, I don't necessarily want to say I told anyone so, because that's not really nice. But I've been trying to get people to think about energy efficiency for forever and a day. If I could only get some of these folks to talk, some folks to listen to me that had access to, he's got the giant turkey up there. Thanks, Steven. I actually posted that on the podcast page. I don't know if you noticed that yet. But, if there was people out there that had resources and would humor me long enough, we could build emergency heating systems for all these homes. If you think about how you know, I'll get into some of this after I play some of these deals here with the, they said, Jive Turkey should not be, oh, that's a different one. I like it. I'll have to post that one too. Jive Turkey should not be messing with the weather. That's true. And anyway, I'm going to play some of this stuff right here. Listen in, stay tuned.
Yeah, the food shortage here in Texas is very surreal to witness. What would you do if your local grocery store closes? Just recently, major grocery stores in California announced they will be closing permanently. Why? Because local city councils are forcing those stores to give employees extra hazard pay during the pandemic. It's a 28% increase in labor costs. But those stores were already losing money, so now they're closing down for good. Expect to see more food supply issues like this in the near future. Ask yourself, could you go weeks or months without being able to buy food? Not unless you stockpile emergency food from My Patriot Supply, America's leader in survival food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. I've arranged for you to save $70 off their popular 4-week food kit that gives you 2,000 plus calories a day. Go to preparewithnatalie.com and you'll get the emergency food you need before the next emergency. Your 4-week kit will arrive discreetly at your door in just a few days. Don't wait. Now is the time to prepare for the unexpected. Visit preparewithnatalie.com, preparewithnatalie.com. Muchachos y muchachas, Texas, 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 Texas. I'm here. I'm in Houston. I myself am witnessing a buffoon circus. So as you guys know by now, Texas just went through this huge storm. I myself did have to deal with a few things personally affected by the storm. A nearby unit to me actually had a pipe burst in which resulted in our water being off for 12 to 14 hours. And that was new. Yeah, that was an experience. Look, let me just say much props to my northern friends who deal with this on the regular, because I don't know how you guys do it. But coming back to it, yeah, a lot of us Texans were not prepared for something as drastic as this winter storm. For instance, our construction, our buildings are not built to withstand, you know, harsh winter conditions. As someone who is born and raised in Houston, you know, it's hot almost 9 out of 12 months of the entire year. We have very mild winters of which we only necessitate a jacket maybe 10 max days out of the entire year. Our summers sometimes last until October, November. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's how extreme our heat climate can be here in Texas, especially in the southern region. Now, many of you have outreached to me and asked me if I'm doing okay, how I'm doing. I really do appreciate it. I am actually doing really well. I do prepare, and I've been calling for people to prepare, you know, go buy canned foods, some non-perishables, and I didn't know that would actually come close to home and actually be for me, but I had prepared for months. Well, one of the many controversies, of course, and one of the most important is the power grid. The power grid in Texas, as Tucker Carlson said, Texas failing in their power grid when we're sitting on such rich resources is like somebody starving in a grocery store. So a lot of people speculated that it was the windmills, and while that might be a factor into the problem, there is something else that needs to be talked about. Coming from the Federalist Report, Texas electricity provider put off on-site winter inspections due to, guess what? COVID protocols. You guys already know how I feel about the lockdowns and the byproduct of the COCO virus. You guys already know. Instead of sending inspectors to complete important examinations at the state power facilities to ensure they were adequately equipped to handle winter weather and high electricity demands, ERCOT, which is, again, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas management, chose to host virtual tabletop exercises. For only a portion of their plants, keeping their in-person contact limited to prevent the spread of coronavirus. This is just such a realistic example of how out of touch and unrealistic this whole fantasy of the cocoa virus and the protocols that are being outstretched and over-exaggerated, and applied to daily lives. But imagine putting together a web conference where it warrants you to physically go test out the facility and its equipment. You like that? It gets better. Beyond permitting only 94 of the state's 600 facilities to participate in the virtual meeting centered on preparing for winter, ERCOT also did not require any plants to adapt their protocols for the colder months, instead just offering a list of suggested guidance for plant operators to follow voluntarily. When the recent storm hit Texas and these unprepared power plants, 40% of ERCOT's generators were rendered out of commission and couldn't perform under the wintry conditions. So now, the electricity is really just a cherry on top of all the other problems that we've had here in Texas. As I started this video off, there have been massive amounts of households that have had pipes that have bursted. Again, our buildings are not built to withstand these type of conditions. Here's just a few compilations of pipe burstings, and believe me, this is just a fractional example.
She's showing pictures right now of what apartment building where it looks like a waterfall going down the side because people's pipes broke up inside there. But since you ain't talking through this portion, I'll tell you. Anyway, yeah, they should have pre-planned well ahead of time. Even if there wasn't a chance of it going to be cold out, they should have already had this pre-planned. You know, at least have some heat tape on all these pipes and stuff. Of course, you know, if your power goes out, then that's you need a backup power source. But there's other ways they could have insulated or even changed the types of pipes that they used. There's people literally walking through a swamp inside of a motel.
Oh my God.
What a mess. What a mess.
So up until now, February 19th, the snow is melting. It feels like we're starting to regain our composure as Texas. That's just what it feels like. But something that just feels very dystopian is walking into the grocery stores. Take a peek at some footage that I myself took into a grocery store that I went to earlier. Yeah, the food shortage here in Texas is very surreal to witness. So if the grocery stores are not affected directly by the power outages, they are being affected by the actual food supply, livestock, produce, you know, all...
I'll pause this just for a second. Does anybody remember them talking about a dark winter? Does anybody remember hearing the government on both sides of the fence talking about a dark winter? You know, if you were in a conspiratorial type mind, you might really think that they did this stuff intentionally to people. We know they can jack around with the weather. Chris and Steven posted an article about a guy named Charles Hatfield, the rainmaker, who brought on a deadly flood in 1916 in San Diego. I'm not sure how he did it, whether or not it's a magic thing or what. Desperate to end the dry spell, the San Diego Council hired a self-proclaimed moisture accelerator, Charles Hatfield, to fill the Marina Reservoir. He did much more than that. Charles Hatfield, the rainmaker, holds his hand palms up, perhaps conjuring some droplets. In 1915, a desperate city, I already read that part right there. Oh, Yeah, I was going in there and said, hired Charles Hatfield, a man who claimed he could make it rain to end devastating drought. I do not make it rain, Hatfield insisted. That would be absurd. I simply attract clouds and they do the rest. Anyway, apparently caused a massive flood. Anyway, that article's posted in the Super chat room if you want to see it. Let's get back to this. But, you know, if they're tampering around with the weather, which we know they are, you see them spraying the crud in the air all the time, you know, it's obviously not going to have positive effects on nature. So, I don't know, man. Let's just keep going. Guess I already messed that one up. Oh, I gotta sit here and wait for that thing to kick around now because I stopped it. See, mad science should know the answer. Yeah, we got the answer. And blast it, come on. Yep, well, so I already stopped it. Now my computer wants to jack around on me, so I gotta wait for it to try to rebuffer again. Do-do-do-do-do. That figures. So anyway, I guess that's probably not going to come back and play again. Had they thought about this a long time ago, or maybe even listened up, we could have already had emergency backup heating systems for people's homes and some really incredible efficiency as far as, if you think about how most electric heaters work, you're basically just trying to heat the air up. So why not double down on that and not just heat the air up, but heat water up as well, so that you're getting two for one with the energy that you're using. Such as if you look at that, there's a video I posted in there about the guy made a homemade, basically the equivalence of the heater core inside your car. And of course he did it with electricity, but there's other ways you could build wood burning stoves that boiled water and have temperature sensors that would turn fans on and off when the water temperature got up to a certain degrees or whatever. There's also diesel water heater systems out there that you can get, oil burning type systems. But I don't understand how come industry hasn't put two and two together and made these really incredibly super efficient designs like this. If I could just get to talk to the right doggone people.
All these things are affected by the weather here in Texas. According to the Texas Tribune, with grocery stores across the state shuttered for lack of power, supermarkets that remain open have seen supplies dwindle. Shortages that ripple over food pantries that count on grocery store surplus to keep their own shelves stocked. Meanwhile, fruit and vegetable crops in the Rio Grande Valley have frozen over in what the Produce News described as a Valentine's Day produce massacre. School districts from Fort Worth to Houston have halted meal distributions to students for the next several days, and the Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller said dairy farmers around the state are pouring $8 million worth of milk down the drain every day because they can't get it to the dairies. Also, food banks, food relief organizations are feeling that strain to feed Texas as eight food banks have asked Texas for help feeding those that are in need. According to Celia Cole, the CEO to Feeding Texas, she says, the food bank's fleet, equipment, facilities, and operations have been adversely impacted by the extremely low temperatures and hazardous road conditions that are hindering our staff and volunteers from getting to our building safely. The organization announced in a media alert, these conditions are also keeping us from distributing food safely. Take a look at this video captured by Wes Wilson. He is a producer over at a local Austin news organization. This is a video of a very long car line for any fast food takeout places that are actually open.
There's a long
line. And very sadly, this is a chain reaction. It's not just, of course, affecting us humans directly, as there is very little in the grocery store to pick from, But also the livestock growers in Texas, you know, this is affecting the feed for the livestock. Chickens and calves have frozen to death in the past few days. The Texas Department of Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller says this: all of the milk processing plants are full. They can't get enough electricity to run, and if they could, they couldn't get enough natural gas to pasteurize the milk. So grocery store shelves are basically empty. This is true. There's no dairy products flowing to Kroger or HEB or places like. So we're as bad as it is when COVID hits. Could possibly get worse. Produce farms also suffering losses as the weather has directly impacted their crops. ERCOT CEO Bill Magnus is under a lot of fire right now due to the ill-preparedness of this entire fiasco. Quotes from him recently: I think it'd be kind of too early to speculate, but I mean, we're going to be examining everything that happened here moment by moment. He also ended with, the blame can be assessed very soon. Blame will surely be assessed. I'll end with this. What this teaches me as a Texan and, you know, going through this, witnessing this for myself, this makes me want to take a closer, more in-depth look at our leadership, our local officials, our governmental bodies, the leadership of our infrastructure and industries. This also trains our eye to look at those who are actually going to take responsibility for the failures and to remediate things. Who's not taking responsibility? 2022 is not far off, and I'll let you know we're taking some close looks. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching, supporting the channel. As you guys know, I do this full time, so it is you that keeps a roof over my head and whatever food I can find on my table. If your heart is led to support me, you can go to nataliedenise.com/donate, or there are other links in the description below. Thank you guys for your support. I will see you in the next video.
So, she's a real nice lady too, by the way. If you listening then on there, not only are they having to dump milk down, they got cows and wildlife, livestock freezing to death and all this kind of stuff. I mean, totally unexpected, right? Unexpected disaster? 3 question marks. Well, you know, I just, it just blows my doors off. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But if you can't see the writing on the wall ahead of time, especially when it comes down to science, you're heading down the road to disaster. It's that simple. You can't tamper around with nature and expect it not to have some side effects. And you always got to plan as if the worst is going to happen. Plan and pre-plan and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you got metal pipes or even PVC plumbing, that kind of stuff right there, those aren't designed to withstand cold temperatures. Now, there is a brand out there, it's a plastic plumbing type of deal, flexible plastic, that they call PEX, and that stuff can stretch many times past what your normal pipe could actually stretch, and then whenever it thaws out, it's not going to bust the pipe. And so with that PEX plumbing, where it may or may not be cheaper than the other plumbing or not, it's hard to say. Either way, it's one little tiny thing that could have been used in construction to try to avoid a lot of this stuff, from occurring. You know, regular PVC plumbing, once that stuff freezes, it just snaps, just breaks right down the middle all the way down along the deal. Just basically shatters like glass, especially if it's older and, you know, doesn't have, any of its normal plasticity, I guess that's the word. Anyway, like, I'm sitting here looking at, listening to all this. Most of this stuff was unnecessary. Most of the damage done was totally unnecessary. Most of all the... you know, people freezing completely unnecessary. Even when you get down to your livestock, if you see there's coming in a really terrible storm, you take it serious and put all your livestock inside somewhere, you know, warm. As Chris said, wouldn't it be a shame if it was used against them? Yeah. Yeah, that probably would. But I'm just thinking about this whole deal. And, you know, there's so much going on in the world out here right now. You got all this craziness in the government. You got all this craziness in the weather. You got wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and all kinds of stuff coming down the pipe at you. And even in all this worst-case scenario, we still have solutions, but you have to pre-plan ahead of time in order to at least soften the blow, so to speak, when it comes down to these doggone disasters. If you build a house in Hurricane Alley or Tornado Alley that isn't, you know, weather resistant, then chances are, you know, it's going to end poorly if the tornado comes down your road. You know, and a lot of people that live in, say, you know, the Missouri or Kansas or stuff like that, you know, they still have houses that are made the way that houses are made, big old flat sides and made out of wood and sticks, stuff like that. And so when you get a big heavy duty wind, you know, it's bound to tear something up. Big old flat surfaces grabbing up all that wind. This is common sense. But imagine if you built that house instead of building it like, you know, the box cracker style, cracker box house. You build it like a dome so that whenever any heavy duty wind does come around, all it does is just roll right on past the, you know, the round surface. So that's just one little tiny example there of things that could have been done prior to keep your house intact in worst case scenario. Maybe we should build domes around everybody's house so that they don't have to worry about it. You know, if you live in a flood zone or whatever, there's all kinds of things that could be done. There's all kinds of things that are done. We need some sort of common sense commission or club or somebody, advisory, you know, somebody with some dang brains. Because, you know, if you listen in to all this stuff that's going on, most of it was avoidable. Let's listen to this one here.
We want to get to that disaster in Texas.
We certainly do. Michael, you and I have family down in Houston, and look at this neighborhood, still in darkness. More than 620,000 waking up without power in Texas this morning, and some 7 million people under orders to boil their water before using it. Pipes freezing, bursting all over that great state.
There's more dangerous weather on the way this morning. 10 states in the District of Columbia under states of emergency declarations right now, including Texas. Marcus Moore starts us off in Dallas, a city virtually paralyzed by the weather. Good morning, Marcus.
Absolutely, Michael. Good morning. We had intended to show you the ice that has formed on the side of this building, and you can see it there, and it's all gone all the way down, covering the landscaping there, the frozen pipes bursting. But the fire department rushing to the scene here on a report of heavy smoke coming from a generator. The power has been out here, and it's evidence of how this catastrophe is unfolding in so many ways. This morning, the humanitarian crisis in Texas is accelerating. Millions still without power or water.
What is going on right now is completely unacceptable.
The city of Houston, the so-called energy capital of the world, brought to its knees. Hundreds lining up for much-needed supplies as officials here tell residents with power to boil water.
How can we boil water? We don't even have power.
We have been without power for 60 hours now and without water for about 24.
My family and I, we've been in the dark since Sunday night.
Frozen water pipes bursting, destroying homes, some causing ceilings to collapse.
We are sitting here by the fire.
In San Antonio, Kristen Haddix is trying to keep her 11-month-old baby warm. Her family's light source is this lantern.
Trying to boil some water so we can make some warm bottles for my daughter.
We only have 3 light sources. We have our propane fireplace, 1 battery-powered light that we plugged in before the electricity went out, and otherwise it's candles.
Julie Crawford has been boiling snow for her family to use as their primary water source.
We're running dangerously low on water. So now what we've been doing all day is actually coming outside, getting snow, putting it in our pots, and heating it on our propane grill.
Hospitals around the state push to their brink, relying on generators and water trucks. In Austin, a facility with 300 patients reporting it's losing heat, even transporting patients becoming an obstacle.
It is very difficult to drive on the roads. As it gets darker and you have ice on the roads, it is very difficult to send people out.
Officials say this week there have been more customers in Texas without power than there were during Hurricane Harvey. They say high demand and overloaded utilities led to the outages. Texas is the only state in the entire country on its own electrical grid. A nonprofit company called the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, manages about 90% of the state's power. The company now under fire for not being better prepared.
We're working 24 hours a day ever since Sunday night to get power restored to Texans. But that's not enough, obviously. We've got to keep that moving down as fast as we can because our only priority right now is getting power to the folks in Texas.
This morning, Governor Abbott calling for an investigation into the company and what went wrong.
I'm not suggesting in any way that there's been any criminal activity or anything like that, but it is something that needs to be looked at.
The power to a number of homes here in Texas was restored overnight, but still so many people remain in the dark. And between the electric issues and the water, guys, this is far from over for so many people here in Texas.
It sure is. Okay, Marcus, thanks very much. Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Okay, let me see. I'm gonna try to call somebody real quick. I just ain't able to sit there and type. Doggone it, get off of there. Give me a break here, folks, for just a second. Doggone it. Where's it at? Okay, so, look, if you want, I got 10 billion things on my brain right now. Sorry. When you listen to all this stuff right here, and you think about, you know, the lack of planning for anything, it just drives me bonkers. First off, I got tons and tons of ideas running through my brain. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I got tons of ideas. When it comes down to actual resources available to build things, you know, if I had the funding and the research, I would already have prototype after prototype. I'd have the most massive mad science lab you ever seen in your lifetime. Every single day we'd be building something to show energy efficiency. Now I can sit here and talk about it, and I can tell people over and over how to do things, but you know, an idea is just an idea until you act upon it. And so when I say I need resources, I need you know, I'm not asking everybody to send me your money, that kind of stuff like that. I'm talking about building a team, you know. So You get an idea and you tell your team, say, look, let's try it. Let's work on this one deal right here. And let's work on just this one deal. Let's get it done. And then we'll move on to another project. So this way, everybody right out of the gate puts their ego aside. We're not trying to fight over which form of alternative energy is right or wrong. We're just troubleshooting one specific idea and getting it done. And that's the kind of team I need to work with in order to be able to do things. You know, there's companies out there that, you know, they make millions of dollars, and so, you know, they can hire all these brilliant minds to go in there, and then they patent all these ideas under their company name, and so they're the ones who get rich. Now, when it comes down to the average Joe down here, the average you and I, we don't all have the funds to build these devices, you know, individually. So how are we going to get one of these in everyone's household if most folks don't even have the funds to afford the materials themselves or even the skill set in order to be able to do this? And so I put all these ideas out there on the table in hopes that people will take them and run with them, you know? Such as if you're going to burn firewood anyway, then why not make that that wood burner more efficient than just burning firewood? If you actually look at how most wood-burning stoves are, they're really not that efficient. A lot of the heat gets escaped up through the smokestack, and in some circumstances, you could actually re-burn the fuel or the exhaust gases out of the oil to get yet even more heat. It makes it a little bit more complex, but nonetheless, you know, you can still do that. Now, if you had a water jacket on the same exact wood burner, then you're not only getting the air heat, but you're also heating water at the same time, so you just doubled up on the efficiency of it. So now all that energy is getting transferred, some of it to the air and some of it to the water, that now you can guide it around to wherever you want it to go. Now, you imagine if you take a look at a regular school bus heating system inside of a school bus. You know, you've got a water jacket on the engine, and when the engine gets up to operating temperature, it circulates that water through your floors over to the heater cores, and you got a couple different heaters on the bus. And then even in the dead of winter, once you get that thing up to operating temperature, it puts out more than enough heat to keep the inside of that bus so hot that it'll run you up out of there. So, you know, what's that say? I keep getting distracted by the chat room in there. So basically what I'm saying is we got all the doggone answers to everything. To get things manufactured takes a little bit of finances, that a lot more finances than I got, or it takes somebody, you know, combined resources and skill set and tools put together and get things done. I get people to get so upset at me because I keep talking about all these things and I can't build them all as fast as I'd like to show everybody. You know, I got this generator that is sitting on this table right here, and I'm kind of at a standstill because I got to get some parts vacuum molded so that I can pour these two-part epoxy resin and mount these coils in there. Now, if I had a team to work with and we had the resources available, this thing would have been done months ago, many months ago, and they would be ready to teach everyone how it's actually done. You know, so the best I can do is try to put together what I can and, you know, try to explain as much as I can in hopes that people will take that idea and just run with it. You know, I don't even care if people take these ideas and use them to patent them in their own name and get rich. I just want them to be used. I got more ideas than, I obviously got more ideas than I got money. So, you know, it's, I could sit here and tell you in graphic detail how something works, but if you're not willing to build it, you know, if nobody has the capability or the resources or the funding in order to put a team together to actually build it, then we're just talking about it. And that's frustrating because situations like what's going on in Texas right now and different places around the world, it's not even necessary that they even went through all that. That with a little bit of pre-planning, this could have all been avoided. So here's an idea. try to figure out a way to get me in contact with somebody in Texas that has a little bit of power or resources, and you know, have a conference with them, talk to them about it, talk to them about all these different ideas. You know, they talk about alternative energy all the time, but when you got wind turbines that are frozen up because of the weather, that's not really going to help the situation. But what could they have done to avoided those things ever freezing up to begin with? A lot of folks take shortcuts and everything, and so when you take shortcuts, well, you know, when something goes awry, it's you know, not going to help you out any. I mean, simple concepts, folks. A little simple concept. We know that science says heat rises and cold air falls. So knowing that simple concept, maybe not necessarily being a scientist yourself, but knowing that heat rises and cold air falls, where would you put the AC in your house? Where would you put the air, the ductwork for the AC in your house? You put it in the ceiling. You know, your cold air falls. So that's going to evenly distribute that cold air throughout the house. So, with that said, knowing that heat rises, where would you put the heat ducts at? Obviously in the floor. But I can tell you from example that just about every building I've ever been in, either they got both the heating and the cooling in the ceiling, or they got both the heating and the cooling in the floor, which is totally inefficient. Now, might cost you a little extra money, but maybe you get a dual duct system and you got the heater for the floor and you got a heater duct for the ceiling, so that summertime comes rolling around. I don't know yet. So when the heater duct whenever wintertime comes around, all you do is swap a little flap, just like you do inside your car. You know, when you're in your car, your air box inside there, it has one for hot and one for cold. So you can flip it over to the hot side and, you know, you got heat in the wintertime. You know, simple things like that. But, you know, whenever somebody's building an expensive building or something like that, they don't seem to factor these in. They take shortcuts. Why pay for dual ductwork whenever, you know, you can get by with a single ductwork? Well, you might get by with it, but it's not going to be efficient. And imagine if every single house that was in Texas right now was built efficiently, then you wouldn't have this extra drain on the power supply the way that it does. Because when you think about people plugging in all different electric heaters and stuff like that and running all these different electric motors, you know, that adds up really quick. And most of these heaters are resistive load heaters, and so that's going to put even more strain on it. But what if you had a heating system that would run off the equivalence of a coffee pot element, you know, 110 volts, you know, I don't know how many watts a doggone coffee pot element actually runs. I'll have to look it up again. I used to know, but really not that much. So if you circulating water through that, you got a mini boiler system built in, and you transfer that heat not only to the air, but you also transfer it into the water, and then it will build up and store some of that energy in that water that you can then in turn, you know, use just like the heater core in your car. Or if you got a diesel generator or a gasoline generator that has a water cooling system on it, then you could turn that into the portion that circulates the water through your, you know, radiators and such like that. You look at the design inside your automobile, would be a perfect design for the water heating system in your house. You know, back in the old days, they used to use radiators where they'd have a boiler in the basement and they'd pipe steam, hot steam through these pipes. And you know, the only problem is they'd have all these clanking noises. But what I'm talking about is using the same exact type of system that you use in your car. And if you ran antifreeze through it, then you wouldn't have to worry about the power going out and the water freezing up and busting your pipes or anything like that. And so, you know, with that said, you got a diesel generator. It's not only producing electricity, you could use it to generate the heat as well for your home, just like your automobile. And even worst case scenario, You know, maybe a minor modification to your car, you could actually have some quick connects and disconnects where you could pull your car up to the side of the house and plug it into the side of your house and circulate the water from your vehicle in through a system that already had a little bit of water in it already, so you wouldn't worry about running low on antifreeze. And so you're circulating that through your house and you're running your car outside. You don't have to sit outside your house in order to keep warm. You could be inside the house. You know, just have to remember to unplug it before you drive off, obviously. But you know, in emergency scenario, then that's emergency heating system that if you had your house and your car adaptable to where you could do this, it wouldn't be an issue, you know. And as far as maybe having to worry about accidentally driving off, maybe you could design a quick disconnect that if it was under any stress, it would automatically shut the valves and release the connectors with each other. It's all in the engineering, you know. And so there's just so many different things that you could sit here and talk about for days at a time. But if they pre-planned ahead of time, imagine instead of having everybody on natural gas, if you got in the center of town, you got a system that will boil water and then you circulate underneath the ground all the way, you got some pipelines going to each one of the houses, and you can run a radiator system to where they can vent excess heat outside, and all you're doing is circulating water over and over to multiple different houses, and you're only using one pump to do so or something like that. If you had a community, you could have a community emergency heating plant that would work for heck, you could even pipe hot air up underneath there. Probably wouldn't be a very good idea to pipe hot air back around, because whatever's in one house, if you had somebody sick in one house, you'd probably make everybody sick in the other. But it's just thinking about all different possibilities. But the water situation, where you're basically pumping water, if it was deep enough underground, you probably wouldn't need antifreeze at all in the system, with exception up in the house. But those are things you factor in when you're engineering stuff. But either way, there's still solutions to everything. Let me see what's going on with this one.
Driving into the Dorchester neighborhood of Waxahachie, you might as well be in Fargo, North Dakota. Roads and yards still covered in ice and snow, upwards of 200 homes without power since Sunday. And since Sunday on Bent Creek Court, no answers when this will all end.
I pause this just for a second, because Stephen Gibbons said they got the pipe rattle in the steam pipes due to cavitation. They call it a water hammer. When you got a little bit of moisture inside there and that steam blows it down and hits the corner of the pipe, it bangs on it and causes it to do that. But also that word cavitation, there's a pump system that somebody designed that has basically a rotor that has a bunch of holes in it, and all it does is spin water around, and it gets up to really serious hot temperatures. And so you could build that type of system to heat your house with it instead of having to use natural gas or much electricity, because you'd only have to have one electric motor to spin this drum around to heat this water up. So there's all kinds of possibilities. Just getting somebody interested in it is the key. So how do I get to the right people that want to actually either fund research and build things, or listen and take the ideas and run with them? That's the deal right there. I'm not getting the information in the right ears, apparently.
The situation, in our opinion, is just unacceptable. And there's no communication, no feedback, and we're just sitting here trying to stay warm.
We are getting no answers, no how, no way. And if it's going to be another week, everybody is going to lose everything they have.
Water is the other lingering and escaping problem. The city of Dallas, with three times as many calls for service, for water main breaks like this one in the Oak Lawn neighborhood. At the Mosaic Apartments in Uptown Dallas, too much frozen water. A broken water pipe in the parking garage and a car now completely encased in ice. In Fort Worth, a large section of West Montgomery Street put under a boil water advisory. At least 212 confirmed water main breaks citywide, with an estimated 200 more to investigate. Some good news from Crum in far north Denton County.
This is going to end up killing my husband.
That phone call yesterday from Shirley Huddleston, her husband on oxygen, needing to stay warm in their car in the driveway. Today, they finally have power.
We have all kinds of power right now. I mean, we're warm. It's just so distraught because I really thought I was going to lose my husband.
We're worried a little bit.
Back in Waxahachie, where they are still waiting for power, there is a prayer post where people can leave messages for the help they need most.
It's mentally and physically exhausting.
Relief from that exhaustion in the form of electricity and heat is all anyone is praying for here now. In Waxahachie, I'm Kevin Reese.
Yeah, this is like really aggravating when you know you got answers for problems that's going on out there. You know, waiting until it's time for the disaster to already be in progress is, you know, it's like a little too late at that point in the game. But, you know, if we could build a few prototypes to show everybody and get them onto the dang market, then, you know, people would have emergency heaters for every single home that were perfectly safe. It just blows my doors off because, you know, if I can visualize this in my mind, then surely there's got to be somebody else out there smarter than I am with more resources that could actually do the same thing. Maybe they already know all this stuff, you know? Maybe they just don't care. You know, tampering with the weather, you know, messing with the food supply and all this other crazy stuff going on. You know, if my plasma technology was ever to be taken serious, then we would have amazing efficiency as far as heating systems go. But once again, it takes things that takes resources, and I just don't have the resources to do it. I'm barely able to keep going what I've got going. But the answers are there. We've shared the links and all the information to it. You know, I feel like sometimes I'm just preaching to the choir, but I don't have any way that I can get a hold of anybody. I tried to get a hold of Elon Musk on battery technology. He's somebody that's almost impossible to get a hold of. I've tried to get a hold of other, you know, big name people out there that say they're into alternative or even space technology for that matter, because a lot of the things that, you know, I talk about would be beneficial for their systems. Most of what, you know, is needed to be done is common sense, but folks, they want to just they want to take shortcuts. And if you're planning for the future, you can't keep taking shortcuts. I mean, if you think about when you're having your house built, you got to think about, you want it to be cool when it's hot outside, and you want it to be hot when it's cold outside. So you gotta think about insulation. What's the best type of insulation? How can I seal this thing up like an igloo cooler? So if I want it cool inside, it'll stay cool. If I want it hot, it'll stay hot. You know, it just blows my mind. We're in the year 2021, and we got this disaster going on over there that just shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. There's no excuse for it. You know, plasma water heater system would be the most efficient heating system in the world. I mean, if you think about plasma, you think about the temperatures involved in plasma. You don't have to have it, hotter than the sun. You know, you don't need that much heat. All you need is to keep that energy flowing. Once you understand how energy actually functions, and you want to move it from point A to point B, it's child's play from that point on there. I mean, in my mind, it's so ridiculously simple. The hard part has always been to get the people to work together. That's the hard part. To pull resources together. You know, I got a few bucks in my pocket, you got a few in yours. Let's work on a project. Let's get it done and prove to everybody that it does work. That was the whole purpose of my lab. I would get my lab together And I would invite people from all over the place to come on over, and we'll work on a project together, and we'll just get it done. I've been listening to people for years talk about alternative energy. I've been listening to them talk about clean, renewable, green energy. What's taking so long? That's what I'm asking. What's taking so long? They're trying to shoot for the unicorn, and the unicorn don't exist. You know, it's nuts. If you want to get as close to free energy as possible, you don't shoot for free energy right out of the gate, even though I know for a fact that it exists. You shoot for incredible efficiency. So the more efficient things come, the closer you get to your goal. But meanwhile, you're improving as you go. You're getting it done. You know, when I talk about building an engine, it would run on pure distilled water. That's based on physics, using physics to your advantage. And when you try to tell somebody who's thinking in the lines of internal combustion engines, they can't visualize it in their head. They just don't have that mechanical ability to actually see this in their head, because they've got the book so wrapped around their mind that they can't they can't fathom how this could be, you know. And you're not defying any of the known laws of physics, but they're not able to hear it. They're mentally incapable of understanding the concepts of what you're trying to explain to them. They just can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. As a person who could build an engine from scratch, you know, just raw materials and milling machines, could build a two-stroke internal combustion engine, you know, with their hands and their tools, and they can't even fathom it. You know, if I could get one of those type of individuals just to humor me long enough to try it before they denied it, as we went through the process, it would begin to make sense to them. But you can't get that far with these people. They're so indoctrinated. They're so blind to the real truth about physics and science. It blows my mind. You know, it's like ridiculously simple to solve so many different problems that we supposedly have. There's things that we can make so much more efficiently, and, you know, be able to use energy in such an incredibly efficient manner that you wouldn't have blackouts. Wouldn't have brownouts or people without electricity, that kind of stuff. It's just mind-blowing to me. Anyway, let's listen to this one.
Oh my God!
This morning, misery in Texas.
It's really freezing. It's horrible.
Millions statewide spending another night in the dark, without electricity, heat, and for a growing number, running water. Flooding homes, only adding to the nightmare. State officials offering little guidance on when any of it will be over.
Every source of power that the state of Texas has been compromised.
Mavelle Traylor and her father, Lewis, have spent the past 4 days inside a cold, dark home, using a single gas stove to stay warm.
I know God is here, but who else? We're supposed to take care of our people.
To the south in Houston and Galveston, millions being told to boil their water after outages impacted treatment plants.
Going to be in this for a couple of more days.
Emergency officials now fielding hundreds of calls related to carbon monoxide poisoning as people resort to desperate measures to stay warm.
Do not use grills indoors and do not run your car inside your garage.
And with limited water, even fire departments are struggling to battle blazes.
They're running from one call to the next, trying to do the best that they can.
The Lone Star State is alone in having its own power grid, allowing it to bypass federal regulations that would require safeguards for this exact type of cold weather. ERCOT, the nonprofit that operates the grid, admitting they are not able to compete with Mother Nature.
ERCOT saw the storm coming. As the storm blew in, it also did damage to the supply side, and that knocked us enough out of balance that we had to take on these outages, as difficult and damaging as they have been.
The dangerous storms roaring across the country, leaving snow and bitter cold from Arkansas to Illinois. The Northeast now bracing for impact as folks in Texas do their best to survive.
It's really terrifying to think about people dying from these freezing conditions, and we don't want to be one of those statistics.
And this morning, the White House has pledged generators and diesel to Texas hospitals and other critical facilities to hopefully keep them open throughout this weather crisis. And Governor Greg Abbott banning the sale of natural gas across state lines to make sure those in-state have ample supply. Hoda?
All right, Morgan, for a second, let's go back to those viral photos. They just showed just how freezing it is there in Texas inside the homes. We saw the freezing ceiling fans. We saw the water that couldn't come out of the sink. So, how, does this underscore how the area isn't built for those kinds of conditions?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't stress enough how unprecedented this is in its sheer scope across the entire state. I want to show you this picture of a cactus encased in ice out towards the western part of Texas. That's nearly unheard of. And then look at this. Down in Houston, where it's typically balmy this type of year or close to it, you have a playground looking more like an icicle collection. And then, unfortunately, all too many of these photos have been popping up. People forced to literally camp inside their own homes in a desperate effort to stay warm. I've had friends try to do that exact thing, parked right in front of the fireplace, doing whatever they can until that power can come back on.
Yeah, you hear about people burning their own furniture so they can have more firewood. I mean, they're going to desperate measures. All right, Morgan, thank you so much.
And there's been a lot of emergency calls about carbon monoxide poisonings,
yes.
People going in their garages to warm up any way they can. So the situation is very dire there, Dylan.
It certainly is, and it's not going to really warm up to like 40s, 50s until we get into the weekend. So it is going to stay brutally cold. We are now watching the storm make its way into the Mid-Atlantic and into the Northeast. It is snowing pretty good in Philadelphia, starting to coat the grounds there, and we are going to see that continue for the next several hours. But to add insult to injury, temperatures right now are below freezing across most of Texas, and we have just a little disturbance producing more snow and more ice. But the big event we're tracking for today is bringing that snow through New Jersey, through Maryland, through Delaware. We're seeing that icing, though, in areas like Virginia, where we already have about a half an inch up to a 3/4 of an inch of ice coating the ground, a treacherous, dangerous situation there that will likely lead to some power outages as well. As we go later into this afternoon, the snow and the ice kind of fizzle out for a bit, but then it regenerates overnight into Friday morning. So we'll see a secondary round of snow and ice across the Mid-Atlantic as we go through Friday morning. So we're looking for mostly ice through Virginia. That's the dangerous stuff. We also have more snow and ice likely down across southwestern Texas of all places, and additional snowfall through the Northeast. We're looking for about 4 to 6 inches, I'd say, of widespread snow, but it's really the icing that coats the trees, the power lines, and the roadways that will be the biggest concern. But I'd say a widespread 4 to 6 inches, lesser amounts, I'd say, as you go farther south where you see that changeover. And here is the ice we're talking about in Virginia, in Maryland. I mean, a half an inch up to 3/4 to an inch of ice is just very, very dangerous.
So, hey, thanks for watching our YouTube channel. Find your favorite recipes, celebrity interviews,
favorite recipes. All right, so, hey, I have solved all those problems you said you had, alternative energy inventors. Yeah, that looks familiar. That looks familiar. Stephen posted a picture of a skeleton laying at the keyboard. Cobwebs everywhere. That's a pretty good one. I'll have to save that one. Cobwebs, that's what I'll name it. No, it's just, it's aggravating because, doggone it, man, there's answers to every single thing out there, but how do you get people interested in actually doing it? That's the thing. You know, I know, you know, we can get a few things done together. The first one would be, you know, emergency heating / generator. Emergency heater / generator. And you already know that you can go out and buy you a generator, you know, to run electricity when you need it. But, you know, you're going to need some type of fuel system. When you go out there and buy you a generator, you want to buy one that has a water jacket on it that uses, instead of being an air-cooled engine, it's a water-cooled engine. That way that you can tap into that, and so at least in one room of your house, have a place where you could run the heater inside a heater core. You can buy aftermarket heater cores that they use for like race cars and stuff, and you'd be surprised at how much heat those things will put out. It may take you just a little bit longer to warm the whole entire room up, but once you get it up to operating temperature, it would keep it maintained. And, you know, you'd be able to maybe open up another room and transfer some of that heat to the other room. But nonetheless, it's all things that we already have. You know, and when I talk about building the engine that runs on pure distilled water, you know, there's a little bit more complexity to it, but it's still not beyond the realms of real science. It's not science fiction. It's science fact, you know, things with induction heating and so on. You'd start off running it like a steam engine, and you'd end up running it with hydrogen technology. But I mean, to get something like that built would take a lot more effort. But for something simple as far as heating, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, as far as that goes, you could modify an old engine block to turn an old engine block into a wood burning stove, for that matter. You know, think about the water jacket on there, and that's what you need. You need the water jacket and the water pump all set up on there, and a little electric motor to run the water pump. Take the original cam out of it, because you're not going to be driving any pistons or anything like that. Maybe even go as far as cutting from one cylinder to the other and building a firebox inside there, and just using the water jacket portion of it to circulate radiator fluid through there while you're trying to burn your firewood or whatever. And so if you actually look at the way that some of these electric radiators, they already have their own thermostat on there, their own temperature sensor on there, so when it gets up to the certain temperature, it will kick on the fan. And so when you're boiling the water, you know, through the block of this engine, and you wouldn't need near as much wood as you think you would in order to keep that thing hot. And because your average car only runs anywhere from 160 to 180, maybe possibly 220 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on what type of engine you're running. But taking an old engine that wouldn't run otherwise, you can take that old engine and turn it into a wood stove with a few modifications to it and burn some firewood inside there in order to keep the water temperature up, or, you know, build an electric version of it. There's all kinds of different possibilities. Let's just say, I gotta stop trying to read that because it's distracting. Anyway, it's a lot easier to read comments in the chat room when you get somebody else in here with you. So
yeah, it's going to be a nasty one when everything is all tallied. But right now, what we care most about is trying to get people back onto the power system again. Many people have been without for days. This is really encouraging. Just what we've been seeing, let's say in the last 90 minutes or so, from about 5 o'clock on to now, you see this green line here. This is the demand line. This is how much electricity we want here in Texas. The orange line is how much electricity is available. This demand line has been just going straight up, which means that more people who had probably been kicked off of the system in the past couple of days have been starting to be allowed back on once again. This line doesn't mean much when you look at it, but I can tell you just roughly with the math, when I look over here on the side and using the ERCOT math on this, this would represent probably somewhere in the range of about 800,000 households. That is a significant change in about a 90-minute period. They did sound hopeful today that things were going to start looking up through the evening this evening. We've heard that for the past couple of days, though, so we wanted to see that actually borne out, and we're actually seeing it. Hopefully it stays that way. If you have power and you've had power, maybe lower your thermostat down several degrees, because a lot of these people coming on have really cold houses. They're going to be really trying to kick that juice in to try to get their house warmed up. So we can all kind of take part in trying to bring down the demand a little bit so that these people
people don't end up getting kicked back off again. Let's look at where we stand here in North Texas right now. Just under 400,000 customers still without power right now. These are all the different multiple outages for each one of these dots here. I want to talk about this now because we're, you know, as we go into the next several days, especially as the temperatures start to warm, this is going to become the biggest story right here, these broken pipes and all of the damage that's been left behind by all of this. I spoke today with some folks at the Insurance Council of Texas. They're basically a trade association for the big insurance companies here in this state. Here is our costliest Texas storms list. Hurricane Harvey still holds the distinction at about $20 billion in losses. You remember those tornadoes we had here in October of 2019? That was $1.5 billion. They told me today that we might as well clear a space here at the top because they are expecting this winter storm to become the costliest Texas storm of all of them. And I had to repeat that back because I was shocked that they made that announcement today. Take a listen to our phone call. You think that we may actually see losses from this that top Harvey?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Harvey, it was terrible. It was a several day event. But when we're talking about the entire state and when we're talking about not only auto claims, but business claims and homeowners, renters insurance, we are definitely.
I'm going to pause that just for a second. There's an article out there. I'll post it. It's on the New York Post, and this is mind-blowing. Let me just go ahead and throw this up in the chat room. If somebody over there in the super chat can throw it over there in people for people, that'd be nice. I appreciate that. But you got to check this article out. This is mind-blowing. I'm going to read a portion of this article to you. And I tell you what, if I ever got a bill like that, I would be... Oh, man. Alright, so... Dismiss that. Don't need that. Okay, so it says homeowners hit with electric bills as high as $17,000 amid Texas winter storm. Imagine getting a $17,000 light bill for 1 month. It says Texans... say energy companies are on a power trip. Electric bills in the Lone Star State skyrocket to as high as $17,000 per month after a historic storm power outage sparked a high demand for heat. According to reports on Friday, Dallas area resident Ty Williams was hit with a sticker shock when his monthly bill soared from $600 last month to nearly $17,000 so far this month. That's past freaking ridiculous. That has a water jacket on it. You could turn that generator into the heating source for your house as well. So you're running the electricity, and the more the less you're using appliances of electrical, such as you don't need electric heaters now because you got the doggone heater core system that I've been talking about. It's going to be more efficient, so you'll be able to run your lights, and that generator won't have to work nearly as hard. And you'll get your heat from the circulation of the water going on. But, man, think about that. $17,000. That's a heck of a lot of money. Thanks for reposting that, Stephen. I appreciate that. That is ridiculous. 17.
We all know these names. Harvey, Ike, Allison, if you go way back, Alicia, Rita. It's just stunning to know that this storm could actually supplant the very top one here in the amount of damages that it's going to do. We're going to see a lot of insurance claims. Chris and Izzy, they're expecting hundreds of thousands of insurance claims to come in.
Wow. I guess the only way to explain it is Hurricane Harvey impacted the southern part of the state. The tornadoes hit us here in North Texas, but I guess, Jason, this is something just hitting all of us.
That's
just
what they
about
said
everywhere.
Today, every single Texan has been impacted by this in some way or another.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay, well, that just certainly went awry. Well, folks, you know, I'm having issues again. Doggone internet issues, so it is what it is. Anyway, I don't know how long that's been going on, but this probably... this is driving me nuts. All right. Let me just get us up out of here with something. And blast it. Anyway, it don't surprise me none. Everything just keeps going awry. If anybody out there knows anybody who's looking for solutions, get them in contact with me so we can have a conversation and try to get things resolved. There's so many solutions out there. I'm just getting to the point where it's just frustrating as all get out. You know, I'm just sitting there trying to figure out a way to try to get some information out to the world, but I don't know. I'm having internet troubles again, folks. I apologize, but I'm going to have to try to end this and see if I can sort some things out. Anyway, peace and love to everybody. Take care. You've been listening to Mad Science.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.